Welcome to Working Out, week two of a reality series that we're doing to help you guys figure out what it means to engage with the tools and the resources that God has given you. The scripture that we're using is, you know, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that we need to work out what God has given us. My name is Lance Birch. I'm one of the pastors here, and so I'm so glad if you're a guest that you made the choice to be here. It's, you know, we have these punch cards, and if you get all four of those punches, if you're here all the next 4 weeks, then there's going to be a drawing for a huge prize, and so get in on that. Hopefully the real prize is going to be you finding what you need to develop yourself spiritually, to grow spiritually. I want to welcome everybody that's here, but also you guys that have clicked on the little link and you're watching us live. Thanks for doing that. Also, I want to give you a building update, okay? I don't know if you guys know this, but we are building a reality kids wing, and hopefully we're going to be breaking ground on that next week or the next week after that. So that's exciting. Yeah. I do want to let you know that it's not too late for you to get involved in this. It's not too late for you to get invested. In fact, we actually really need you to get invested. If I can be frank with you, some of you in this room have been afflicted with affluence, and you can use that affluence to actually help us move the ball down the field a little bit. We got some numbers back. They didn't come. You know, have you ever gotten numbers back? Whenever we try to purchase anything or do anything, don't the numbers sort of surprise you sometimes? It's like, I want to buy that FJ Cruiser. You know, no, I don't. Are you just going, you're looking at a coat at, you know, at the mall, and you're like, I love this coat. And you pick up the sleeve. It's like, no, we don't like that coat anymore. Sleeve's the wrong length. Well, guys, we as a church, we know the vision that God has given us to develop and to raise up a generation of people who know God and who want others to know God, a generation of Christ-like impact, to intersect with them and to give them relationships and truth, and to do all of that, it does take resources. And in order for us to expand, and if you've been in our little, maybe you haven't, I encourage you to take a tour. If you've been into our little hallway, it's beautiful, and the people there are doing a fantastic job, but it's not enough. And it's not something that can help us grow. So if you've not gotten invested in what we're doing in Reality Kids, if you've not given to Inside Out, that building project, we need about $100,000 over the next 3 months. The debt is great, but Jesus is richer. And we know that that can be met. We know that. But that might be you. I mean, it might be you. You might just write one check. Amen. Whoever that is. All right. But the reason we're doing this is because we actually believe that when people engage with the church, they become people of Christ-like impact. We don't want to just shout that from the platform. We want to give you tools and resources to do it, and so that we don't just intend to grow. Because the difference between intention and experience is discipline. The difference between you and me intending to grow spiritually and actually experiencing spiritual growth is the day in, day out, I'm going to do it. I am going to get there. It's like grit. You know, it's discipline. I'm going to do what it takes. Because we're developing a spiritual fitness program, we want you to engage with it. And some people who leave the church would say, you know what, I was there, but I just wasn't developing spiritually. Maybe it's because you didn't engage with what was there for you. It's like sitting in front of a piece of fitness equipment for hours and staring at it and saying, well, I'm not benefiting from this at all. Right? You have to really engage. I've been in front of this thing for hours. It's done nothing for me. I guess it doesn't work. Well, I'm going to give you something very simple, something very practical to start. But let's admit one thing at the very beginning. New habits are hard. New habits are hard. To start doing something new that you haven't been doing in the past is very hard. How many of you guys have stopped something that you didn't want to do? Stop smoking, you stopped, you know, whatever. How many of you have had a habit that you broke? Anybody? Anybody in this room? All right, good, good. That's really hard to do. I stopped drinking Diet Dr. Pepper for 2 years. Okay, I'm back on it now, but I stopped for 2 years. Not to the level that I was. But it's really, really hard to stop doing things that you really want to do. But I think that starting something new is actually harder. The statistics on this and the science on this say that you have to do something 21 times in a row before it becomes a habit. Some of the later studies have actually shown that 66 is the magic number. How about that? 66 times in a row in order for it to be fully ingrained in your identity. And what we want for you guys to do is to start living out the truth of the Bible. But in order for that to happen, in order for you and I to live differently, we've got to know the Bible. Do you feel like you know the Bible? If you don't, and here's the truth for all of us, you can't live what you don't know. You can't live out in your life what you don't know. And I know that many of us in this room are scared of that idea of studying the Bible, but I hope to get you to the place where starting this new habit is something that you feel like you can do. Because we all want to start new habits. We do this physically all the time. That's why that piece of fitness equipment is now a place to hang your clothes in your bedroom. It's like you started out with just this dream. Oh yeah, I know I spent $500, but I'm going to use it every day. I did that with a spin bike. It's now rusty and in my garage. This is why don't ever buy new fitness equipment. Go to Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. Somebody thought they were going to do something that they never did. It's pristine. It's like new. Buy it for cheap because the wife wants, you know, to clean out the garage. Okay, I'll finally sell it. The Bible has become that for us. The Bible, which we know is useful, which we know could help us grow, is now decoration on our coffee table. And it's like screaming out to us, no, open, I'm actually useful. Read me. We know it's good for us, but we're intimidated by it. And when you go to a life group, when you go to church, and there's somebody who really seems to know the Bible, it doesn't help you. In fact, it scares you off. Someone who can, back in Leviticus chapter 23, and they just know it. And you're like, man, that doesn't inspire me. I don't want to do this wrong. I don't know it like that. So we just shut up and we say, okay, I'm not going to do it. We've got all kinds of reasons. We say, look, I don't have time. Have you seen my schedule? We've got, I'm bringing the kids to here or there. I work, nobody works 40 hours a week anymore. I'm working, normal deal. And I'm trying to accomplish all this stuff. I've got dreams and desires. I don't have time. I know all these people who study the Bible, they must spend hours on that. There's no way that I can get it. And so I just won't start. I can't understand it. I mean, these people, I open my Bible, they look, I'm in life group, we open our Bibles, they read something, I have no idea what it means. And then spiritual guru over here comes out with it, and it's like, oh, I guess that's what it means. I'm just guessing, I can't understand what I'm seeing on the page. And I don't know the original biblical languages, I don't know any of that. I can't get it, it's just like another world to me. And so here's the deal, Lance. You're a professional Christian. You just tell me what it means. I'll come here. You interpret it. You give to me what it means. Or this one. It's not relevant. I can't plug in the Bible to my daily life. I read the Bible. I go to work. Nothing that I read there has anything to do with what I'm facing at work. When somebody, ask me to fudge on an account or to do something a little shady. I can't figure out where in the Bible. It's just not plug and play for me. I don't exactly know how to plug the Bible into my daily life. On Monday, it doesn't make any difference. Or, this one might be the worst one for me. Lance, I already know it. Been in church world a long time, Lance. When you start out a sermon and you tell me what the scripture is, I'm already there. I can fill in the blanks for you. I know what's going on. I already know the Bible. I can tell the stories. I know it. I've discovered it. Now I get it. I got it now. It doesn't matter how much you think you know, guys. The Bible, if you engage with it, always surprises you. And it can always develop you further. You notice no one ever says this in other areas of their life. No one ever says, I've already mastered the bench press. So I have nothing more to do with it. You just do this. You go up and then down and then up again. I know how to do it, so I don't have to do it. See, every single time you approach the bench press, it develops you further. No matter how much you know about it. That's why even professional athletes make a study of what they're doing. Nobody says, I took up jogging and now I've mastered it. So there's no matter how advanced you think you are, and that's a very big part, no matter how advanced you think you are, there's more for you to learn, there's more for the Bible to surprise you. Karl Barth puts it like this. He says, when we open the Bible, we enter a totally unfamiliar world of God, a world of creation and salvation stretching endlessly above and beyond us. There's always more to discover when it comes to the Bible. Don't let this scare you, by the way. There's a very practical way for you and I to understand the Scripture. So what does the Bible say about itself? Well, in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, this is the only verse we're going to look at, but this verse is going to change your life if you do it. Not if you listen to it, not if you learn it, but if you do it. You know, listening to the Bible and then walking away and acting like that's going to change your life, it's kind of like putting P90X into, you know, downloading that and putting it on your screen and sitting in front of it with a bag of Doritos, saying, this is just by learning this, it's going to change my life. You actually have to apply this, okay? So this is what 16 and 17 says. All scripture, and when Paul wrote this, by the way, Paul was the guy who wrote this, not Timothy, and he wrote it to a young pastor named Timothy. Paul was a church planter, and he would write letters to encourage people and churches. This one was to a young pastor. All scripture, he says to Timothy and to his church, is inspired by God. Now, when Paul wrote this, when he said scripture, he was probably talking about the scripture that existed, which was the Old Testament, the bound-up scripture. It's inspired by God. It's useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Maybe he didn't realize, I don't know, maybe the Holy Spirit revealed it to him, was that he was writing scripture. So his all encompasses our entire Bible. All scripture is inspired by God. That word inspired is a word borrowed from the Old Testament, which is what happened to Adam. Adam was a lump of clay. He was formed, and then God inspired him. To breathe life into someone is to inspire them. And so God inspired Adam, and the Bible as a book is alive. It's alive. It's a living book. And it's there, and it's useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. That's what the Bible is for. It's for your own personal transformation. Are you wondering why you're stuck? Are you wondering why your spiritual muscles haven't developed? It's probably because you haven't fully engaged with the equipment that's right in front of you. This is possible. You can do this, but you have to do it. Okay? It's there and everybody can use it. Look what it says. It's useful to teach us. Everybody in this room can use the Bible and be taught by God. There's not a single, even where you, it doesn't matter where you are on your spiritual journey, you can still get something from the Bible. See, it's dangerous when you attend an organization or a church or some sort of cult, really, where only the leadership can learn from the Bible or the Holy Scriptures of that particular religion. It's dangerous when only the leader, when they say, here's what it means, and they're telling you all the time. That's an organization that you need to see your way out of. Because you are able, that's why it's important that God wants the Bible to be accessible to you, because cults leave it to the pros. Cults say, you need this degree, and you need this, you need to know that, and that, and that, before you can understand anything of the Bible. Look, you don't need to know the original languages, you don't need a seminary degree, you can study the Bible. It's useful to teach us what is true. It's teaching us. Why? Why is it important to teach what is true? Why? Because the world is lying to us. The world is good at being false. And the Bible shows us reality. This past weekend in Charlottesville, evil reared its ugly head in the form of ugly, ugly racism. And you know what they're using? Some of these young white men with their tiki torches. Did you notice that in the picture? They're holding tiki torches. I'm just wondering what the planning committee was for, like, yeah, we're going to protest. We're going to have torches. Well, those are dangerous. Who's going to Home Depot? That's the silly part. The ugly part is how young they were and how filled with fear and hate they were. The world is really good at being false. And you know what they do? They use Scripture. They use the Bible to back up their ugly racism. Guys, it's time for every church in America. We always look for people to condemn things. Let me just say right now, I condemn that sort of ugly racism. And I want to say to our African-American churches and African-American members here, and that's not us. And not only that, our Jewish friends. Because there was a guy on the camera who said, I'm here to do three things. I forgot the first two, but his last one was, and to kill Jews. Does that confuse you? Does that surprise you? It surprised me. I need to wake up. I want things to be gone, but they're not gone. You guys with me on that? I expect things to be gone, but they're not gone. And it's surprising and shocking to me. Well, I condemn this. And the Bible teaches me to. They have this scripture that they were showing that they use to say that the chosen nation was white. And one of them is this: Rebecca was fair. I'm not joking you. They look at fair and they say that means she must have been white. It meant she was pretty, all right? She was most definitely not white. She was beautiful. She was not white. They said the same thing about Jacob. Jacob was plain in their version of the scripture. So it means he's white. I get that. I mean, I get the plain thing. But it doesn't mean he's white. It's just crazy. And see, the thing is, they don't know the Bible. They can't live what they don't know. And they might be willfully ignorant. But here's what I want us to do. And this is just an aside. I want us to, on purpose, tangibly reach out to people who aren't like us and to say, that's not us. Charlottesville. That's not us. That's not the church. That's not the Bible. That's not who we are. That's ugly. There's got to be something practically we can do. It teaches us what is true and what is wrong in our lives. See, the Bible doesn't just teach us what's wrong with culture, what's wrong over there at Charlottesville. The Bible actually teaches you what's wrong with you. It reveals truth. True, the world is a facade and we need to bring God's reality to it, but you are buying into a lot of lies internally too, and the Bible needs to show you, shine the light on that and say, this is the lie that you're believing about God, about you. You're not that awesome. I made that my Facebook profile one time and I regretted it because people thought I was, you know, talking down to people, but you're not that awesome, frankly. People are either giving you grace or they're getting sick of you. That's true about you. And I'm not saying that God doesn't love you. He does. But people, everybody in your life are either giving you grace or they're gradually getting sicker and sicker of you. And the Bible is that great book where God says, here's the truth about you. It recalibrates our minds. We rarely approach the Bible with that in mind. We usually approach the Bible with our needs, don't we? Because there's even Bibles, right? If you're angry at somebody, turn to this page. If you need to forgive somebody, we approach the Bible with our needs. But the Bible does more than address your needs. It defines your needs. It tells you what you need. It teaches what's true about you, what's wrong with me. Very rarely would you walk up to someone studying their Bible and they say, what are you doing? I'm studying my Bible. Well, why? I just want to figure out something else that's wrong with me. Nobody does that. But what a refreshing thing for the Bible to be. When I listened to Christian radio, last week I was listening to Christian radio, and I'm not cutting down the whole thing, but there were four songs in a row about how awesome I was and how wonderful I was, how I could do it. Is it too much to ask that if you listen to Christian radio that you hear a song about how awesome God is and that I'm not that great and that He is? Every Christian conference now is all telling all Americans, you're doing awesome, just keep going. There's something true about that, right? But is it possible that we've steered a little too far to the we're awesome? And maybe that we've got some fundamental flaws? The Bible is like a piece of fitness equipment. It doesn't care about your feelings. Now, it's just a gauge of your spiritual strength. So when you engage with a piece of fitness equipment, it's not there to go, you know, you're all right. You're doing good. It's just black and white. Can you lift 300 pounds? Can you lift 200 pounds? If you can't, I'm not here to tell you that you can. It's just I'm gauging. The Bible's like that. It doesn't care about your feelings. It just tells you where you're at. It's useful in that way. Both the bench press and the Bible aren't there to make you feel good about yourself. It reveals your weakness or your strength, as the case may be. But it never lies to you. It tells you, oh, I need to work on that, or oh, that hurt. And if you don't know that, if you don't know where you're weak, if you don't know where you need to grow, then you're never going to live that out in your life, because you can't live what you don't know. You can't live what you don't know about the Bible, and you can't live what you don't know about you. And the Bible can't tell you what you don't currently know so you can live it out unless you engage with the Bible. But isn't it good that God lets us do this at home, in the privacy of our own home? He doesn't say, I'm going to call you out in public. It's like, Lance, while you're here, I'm just going to tell everybody what's wrong with you. You have the chance, I have the chance to discover those weaknesses and turn them into strengths in the comfort of our own home. Where God says, hey, I'm not going to call you out. Hey, let's just have a conversation, you and me. And God uses that time when we're in the Bible to prepare and equip us to do every good work. God uses the Bible to prepare you and equip you. Have you ever had one of those incredible spiritual experiences and you told yourself, I'm different, and from now on I'm going to be different? Have you ever wondered why it didn't last? It's the same reason why every resolution that you've done, if not followed up by discipline, because all that was intention. All it was, this is how I'm going to be from now on. It feels so new and clean and fresh, and it's a resolution. That's who I'm going to be, and I'm not going to couple that with any discipline. It's just going to be intention, so you're never going to experience it. If you're stuck, the reason is that you think that desire is enough for you to be transformed. And it's just not. God uses the Bible to prepare you and equip you. Those are two big words. Prepare, big word. Why prepare? Because things are coming your way that you don't know about, and God does. You've got muscles that need to develop spiritually, and you don't even know you need them. God is going to ask you maybe to go into a dangerous situation. Maybe he's going to ask you to stick with a relationship that you really don't want to stick with, but he's going to ask you to do it, to forgive somebody that you don't want to forgive. It's beyond your capabilities. God knows it, but you don't. You figure you can handle it. God's going to use this time to prepare you for things that are coming your way that you don't know about. You'll never experience victory over those things if you don't engage with the Bible now, if you don't develop some spiritual muscle now. He's going to give you the prep and the power to do it. He prepares you if you're spending time with him. Life will catch you off guard. Life is tough, and it's tougher than you think it is. And God's here to prepare you for what you don't know is coming. It's too big for us to handle. Because here's one thing that I've discovered. Things happen to everybody. Have you noticed that? Everybody gets in car accidents. Everybody, you know, gets a speeding ticket, I think. Everyone gets a speeding ticket. Things happen to everybody. Loved ones pass away. There's family breakups. For me, I really do believe this. It's a fundamental thing that I believe the Bible teaches me. It's really not what happens to you. It's how you interpret what happens to you that matters for the rest of your life. It is not your experiences, but the framework within which you put those experiences as to how you interpret reality or what truth is. Because the same thing happens to two people. I lost my job. Oh, there's no God. Or I lost my job. Oh man, I need my community of faith. I need to lean into Jesus right now. What's the difference? The framework within which they put that experience. So we need to stop blaming our experiences for who we're becoming and start thinking about, was I even prepared? Was I even equipped? We're not always going to be equipped. But maybe there will be a hook in us that says, I should go towards God rather than away from God. The Bible gives us a framework of reality that helps see ourselves in perspective and see what's happening to us in perspective and know that God is with us. So he prepares us and he equips us. Because a lot of us in this room, we feel like we're rec league athletes on the elite travel team. Like we don't have what it takes. I can't get anything out of the Bible. I know this is all lofty stuff, Lance, but how do I even do this? Listen, you don't have to know a lot of stuff to stand at the base of Mount Everest and be changed. I've never stood there, but if you stand at the base of Mount Everest and try to look up and see the top of it, I don't think you can from the base, but from a distance you can. As you walk, it's just awesome. You don't have to know about plate tectonics. You don't have to know geology. You don't have to know about fault lines to walk away from that thing moved and changed. Has this ever happened to you with a song? You listen to a song and it moved you and it changed you. It changed your way of thinking about something. You don't know anything about key signatures or beats per minute or anything like that. You don't know what a B flat is or an A sharp. You have no idea, but that thing moved you and it changed you. You watch a movie. You're sitting there watching Dunkirk and you're going, I'm a different person now. I appreciate something on a different level now. You don't know anything about cinematography, about two shots, about editing, about panning. You know nothing about any of that. Even about how to construct or edit a film. But you walk away from that different. You know why? Because the maker of that movie wants you to understand something differently. The one who directed it. You know why you walk away from a song different? Because the writer of that song wanted to communicate something to you. And when it comes to the Bible, guys, you can understand the Bible because God wants you to understand the Bible. Here's the thing. The point is this. People do study the Bible on different levels. I get it. Some people know the original languages. Some people know the history. But God made sure that the life-changing level of Bible study is the beginning class. God fully intends to make the life-changing level of Bible study 101. That's where the life change happens. Isn't that good news to you? The life-changing level of Bible study is the beginner class, the one many of us are in. You can get more information, sure, but that information is not necessarily going to transform you. The Bible is an entry-level book, and that's good news. And we have a tutor along with us. The Holy Spirit teaches us, guides us into all truth. See, the Bible is accessible to you because God wants it to be accessible to you. And that's the truth. Why would God go about writing this book and make it so confusing that nobody could get it? You can get it. You can understand the Bible because God wants you to understand the Bible. You can grasp Scripture because God desires that you grasp Scripture. But you can't live it. You'll never live it unless you know it. You can't live what you don't know. So I want to give you some very practical things to do. A very practical Bible study method that anybody in this room can do. Because I believe that this is the number one catalyst for change in your life. Stop outsourcing your growth to the church. Stop blaming the gym for your lack of development. And instead, engage with this incredible tool that God has given us. You need a Bible in order to do this? That'd be good. You can be on a device if you want, a life journal plan, a plan to read the Bible, a journal that you can write in, a pen, and a daily planner. Now, your daily planner can be anything. It could be a napkin. And why you need a daily planner is a lot of times when you start a new discipline, things come to your mind of things I've got to do that. Write it down and then put it to the side. You need something to say, this is my to-do later. I'm going to teach you a method called SOAP. This method was not made up by me. I didn't even discover it. Somebody told me about it. It's in a book by the Divine Mentor, by a pastor in Hawaii named Wayne Cordero. And SOAP is a simple way for you and for me to study the Scripture. Number S, Scripture. So here's what I want you to do. Take a journal, an empty blank journal, open it up, give yourself 3 or 4 pages, and on page 5 or 6, write an S on the left-hand side of the page. And then, as you're doing your daily reading, you take your, basically everybody's, have you guys ever heard of reading, Bible reading plans? We've got one for you. Life Journal Reading Plan. And we're using that, it's actually on our app, if you've got our app. And you can look at that. While I'm talking about the app, I hope I mentioned that you guys can ask questions during the sermon. I don't think I did. You can text in those questions on the app at any time, and I'll get to those later. So, SOAP, Scripture, do the daily reading. Look at your reading plan, and we're going to give you one. It's on our app, or else you can use the YouVersion one. And as you're reading that section of Scripture, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you something. What jumps off the page at me? What am I getting from this? And then take a pen and write out, you've got that S written and a dash, then write that Scripture out on the rest of the page there, on that side. It should just be 1 or 2 Scriptures. And then as you look at that, start observing. Observation. Look. keep on looking. Look for repeated words. Look for a theme. Look for what is there a promise here? Is there something for me to confess? What are the big ideas? God, why did you draw me to that scripture? By the way, the Holy Spirit loves to answer the question, God, what do you want me to learn today? What do you want me to learn? Look, look, look. And then, A, application, right? By the way, on O, write that on the left-hand side, little dash, and then write what you're observing. Here's what I'm seeing in the scripture. Here's what I'm seeing repeated. This is what I think the big idea is. Here's the theme. Observation. Everybody can do that, by the way. You don't have to have a seminary degree to do this. Just observe. Application, if you're going to skip this step, then don't do any of it. This is the deal. This is it. Here's how my life is going to be different based on that. This is what's going to change today. This leaves learning Bible trivia and learning transformational things. Because James says that some people, when they approach Scripture, it's like people who look in a mirror, they see themselves, and they walk away, and they forget what they look like. The Bible's like a mirror. It shows you who you really are in reality. And then if you don't change, then you've just learned more stuff. You've got an information download, but no transformation. And the Bible teaches us that you can learn a lot of the Bible. The Pharisees had tons of the Bible memorized, and yet they looked nothing like Jesus. So how is my life going to be different? You go, a dash, here's what this is going to do in my life today. And then P equals prayer. When I do this, basically the prayer is very closely connected to my application. My prayer is basically, and I write all these out. P, prayer. God, help me do the application. Help me do that. How many of you guys are not journal people? I'm just not a journal person. By the way, that's me. You know, I'm just not a journal person. I'll do this in my head. That's me. My confession is that I don't do this written, but I'm going to for the next 28 days, and I want you to as well. And the reason I am is because while I may have transformation going on in my life, I can't track it, and I can't celebrate it. And so for the next 28 days, I'm going to be writing this out in a journal. Prayer, write out a prayer, usually connected to eight. Look at the whole thing. After you get through, look at the whole thing and say, what's this whole thing about in my life? And then title it at the top. Wait until you're through with the whole process to title it at the top. And then flip back in your journal. Remember how we have 3 or 4 blank pages? That's your table of contents. So write number 1, the date, the title, and maybe the scripture that jumped out at you. And you have a track of, here's the thing. We've got a lot of resources out back and even some more on rightnow.media for you to help you get more out of the Bible. If you want to go there and get those, they'll be really helpful. On our church app, we have the Life Application, the Life Journal Reading Plan. What I'm saying is you already own the thing that can transform you. It's no secret. When should you do it? When are you at your best? That's a really good question. And if you miss, should you just give up? No, don't give up. If you skip one day, don't give up. Have you ever worked through lunch and you skipped a meal? I've done that. I just get so into sermon writing and I just skip a meal. You know what I don't do after that? Well, I guess I'm done with eating. Skipped one because it's over for me. No, don't give up. Just go right back to it. 28 days takes you about 30 minutes, but it'll transform you. Romans 12:2 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. You can do this. I want you to sign up to spend time with a God who loves you and knows what's coming in your life and you don't. He knows what you're going through right now and can help you deal with that. He knows what's wrong with you, and he can help you with that. So let's look and see what you guys are thinking as far as questions go. So let's see. What do we got? I think I surprised him because it wasn't blank. Scriptures can be interpreted many different ways by different people. Why can the Word of God be seen so many ways? Fundamental truth of Scripture study. Scripture can only mean one thing. Say that with me. Scripture can only mean one thing. A little bit louder and with more enthusiasm. Scripture can only mean one thing. Now, why do I say that? Because Scripture, it only means what it meant to the original recipients. If I wrote a note to anyone in this room, that note only means one thing. And you know what it means? It means what I intended to convey to the original recipient. So when Paul writes a book to Timothy, that book only means one thing. So Scripture, I would say this, cannot be interpreted in many ways. It can be falsely interpreted in many ways. In other words, those interpretations aren't valid. And we can use a very good method, the historical grammatical method, to discover, well, what was really meant. That's part of observation, and it might seem scary, but it's not that scary. It's really not. Now, what Scripture can be is applied in many different ways. It can be applied in many different ways, and they're all equally valid. Why can the Word of God be seen in so many ways? I would say that has to do with application, and that means that all of us can say, wow, Jesus fed the 5,000. Person one, I need to trust in Jesus for him to be able to do big things when I don't think he can. I'm looking at the boy over here, and I'm thinking, that boy was generous. I need to be generous. I'm not interpreting it in multiple ways, but I'm applying it in different ways, and that's totally valid. The Bible can only mean one thing. In fact, all of Scripture can only mean one thing unless it's prophecy, and those sometimes had a present deal that happened, and then looking forward. But every other Scripture only means one thing, and that's what it meant to the people who got it, from the person who sent it. I hope that doesn't confuse you. If it does, I'd be willing to sit and talk with you about that. So the point is to get to the correct interpretation, and I will freely admit that on some Scriptures, I don't know. And some of them, when I get to heaven, he's going to say, you're wrong on those. But we can do the hard work of interpreting. So what do you recommend for someone who has a short attention span and dislikes reading? Audio Bible, you know, get it on Audible. Actually, my YouVersion plan has it to where I can listen to the Bible instead. Maybe yours does as well. Different versions have it. Go jogging, do something active, and because that helps my brain shut down. When I'm cycling, I listen to Scripture, or I sometimes write a sermon. So do something active and listen. I think that might help. Not everybody enjoys reading, and I got to be okay with that. But when you get back, jot down the same stuff. And for you, it might be bullet points. You know, S, you know, I'm not going to write it, I got a short attention span. That's okay. God can transform people with short attention spans. He sort of made you that way. And it might benefit you in some other way. So I wouldn't quit just because of that. So those are just, that might help. I don't know. Next. The one with the short attention span just clicked off right there. What is the best resource to use along with your Bible study to help understand the context of the different books in the Bible and deepen your understanding and study? Well, I love a book called How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. The good news, it's by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. I read it when I was in college, and it's actually available on a table out there. Now, all the things that we're selling out there, we're selling at cost, I think. So, yeah, I think we are. So we're just trying to give you the resources. You can get them from other places, but this is our cost to get them in your hands. You can also get them in ebook. Any commentary. I like life application commentaries, but they're super expensive. And if you're not, you know, you can borrow one from me. And I have the old hard copy ones because I got in ministry before ebooks. Back in my day, we had books that you opened. But a good commentary is actually a good thing to have around the house. Because when things are confusing, usually someone else was confused by it too. Isn't that good news? I mean, even Bible scholars, it's good news. Somebody else was confused about this, and you can look it up. And man, Google is awesome for looking up some of this stuff. Like, I was confused by this. Be careful, and please ask us. We're not here to interpret for you, but we are here to keep you away from the crazy, okay? And there's plenty of crazy out there when it comes to Bible interpretation. So, next one. Some people believe the church leaders should be the ones to be translators of the Bible for us. Does Paul say anything about teachers versus regular people reading, translating, understanding the Bible? He says a lot about it. Such a good question, though. Because there's a lot of people who actually believe that, and actually it's really lazy, and it's really prideful on the part of leadership. The Bible says that you have everything you need for life and godliness, that God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. That's good news, that you've got the ability to interpret Scripture on your own. You've got the ability to apply it on your own. You've got the ability to challenge yourself, and with the Holy Spirit leading, the other Scripture that I'd bring out is Jesus, when he was leaving, said, I'm going to send you another comforter, and that other comforter will guide you to all truth. Now, does that sound like you need somebody, some sort of intermediary between you and the Bible to help you along? No, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit can guide you to all truth. You can do this. The Bible's accessible to you because God wants it to be accessible. But you can't live it if you don't know it. So that's what I would say to that. I would say that there are plenty of scriptures about how each person is individually responsible for their own spiritual growth. That's that. I want to say this before we close. This world has broken things in it that are going to be fixed because you engaged with God. There are broken relationships that are going to be healed. Maybe even some of them are yours because you engaged with God. Somebody in this room who's a jerk and doesn't know it will know it because he engaged with God and his word. That situation where you know you're right and they're wrong, that's going to flip because you engage with God's word. The unforgivable will be forgivable for you because you engage with God's word. That's worth it to me. Let's become the kind of church that doesn't rely on somebody from up front growing for you. Let's instead show up next week having had 7 days of saying, this is the scripture, this is my observation, this is my application, this is what I'm praying for. 7 days of that, and we show up here at the beginning of next week celebrating what God told us instead of waiting for God to tell us something once a week. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it engages us and it sometimes cuts, but it always heals. I pray for our country that as people are abusing and misusing your Bible in Charlottesville, that we would as a church condemn that, stand up against it, and use your word to do it, that it would cut to our hearts. The fact that you say there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male nor female, but we are all one in you. Pray that we would stand up, condemn evil where it exists, and use your word to change us, to transform us, to open our eyes to what's dark inside of our own hearts. Help us as a church to engage with your word consistently. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.